Okay, so the number of forms which are used to transmit the culture to the employees. So there is a culture which is there at the top, where top management has believed, framed it, have been living it by the in the years to come. But now, as and when the organization grows, the employees keep coming, right? There will be new joiners coming in. There will be change of managers. All these things happen. So how do you actually transmit the culture from top to the bottom, to the first level in the organization? So through the different brand stories, the rituals that you perform within the, like one of the example I can share, I remember one of the companies that I have seen is that they have where I haven't worked, but I know one of my friend used to work. And they say the moment they or the director comes, you know, the owner, founder of the organization comes, they are supposed to do a pranam with their, you know, bowing down. And that's the ritual that they follow. So whenever people are about to, you know, exit from their duties, when they're finishing their closing their duties, they always do that pranam as well. So things like that, you know, some of the rituals that you follow. Third is your material symptoms. What material symbols? What are those material symbols that comes to your mind the moment you see when you talk about the organization or the brand? The next is your organizational language, the language that you operate from. Everybody is talking the same language. Everybody is operating from the same note of communication. So the most effective forms used. There could be many other forms as well to depict or transmit the culture from top to bottom, but these are some of the forms that you can follow, which mostly commonly used in different industries. So stories, when you talk about now each and every form, we can discuss in detail. So when you talk about stories, you talk about those inspiring stories, how the company, like recently I have done down south, there was a company and the company is electrical appliance manufacturing company. And the company has grown from leaps and bounds now, especially in this term, because they sell, they manufacture motor pumps, they manufacture stabilizers, power stabilizers, and those wires and all of those things, which are very, very applicable and relevant in today's date, especially for our remote working. So they have really grown in the last 2 years, and they share when I do this, I have done multiple batches for them, and when I speak to the people, the first thing that they come with the brand story is that the company had, our managing director started the company with 1 lakh rupees, and today we are grown into, you know, we are a 1,000 crore company already. And they started, the founder started it with 1 lakh rupees only, and single-handedly started. So these are some of the inspiring stories, you know, that you can hear from senior managers, the founders, which help create an impression in the minds of the employees who are over a period of time coming and joining, you know, regarding the culture. So they tend to be prescriptive as in advising people about what is okay to do and what is not. So basically it gives you a platform to understand the do's and don'ts of the organization. And such stories also flow through the organization, binding the present to the past and justifying current practices. So what was in past, what is it that we are X and Y journey, and it also justifies the current practice. So currently why we have done this, we had this particular product, right now we have this, why we did not do this because of this particular thing, to make it more relevant to the current practice, we have developed the product to this level. So this is how it works. This is how the stories work. Then comes your rituals. Now when you talk about rituals, what are some of the rituals? I gave you the ritual example that, you know, some companies follow a particular ritual, like as in, you know, they give a pranam to the director who comes. So it is a recurrent series of activities, okay, that articulates and emphasizes the core values. And always remember these kind of actions which are taken to concretize the rituals are basically talking about the series of activities which actually emphasizes and which talks about or which depicts the core values of the organization. Material symbols we spoke about, including various physical and or tangible aspects of the organization, okay, which can be seen by the employees, which is very, very visible. Such material symbols include, these are like, you know, location where your office is located, your the kind of vehicles that are given to the top management, the kind of office that you have, the kind of furnishings that are there, the kind of colors that are being used, you know, the attire being followed. You've seen some organizations where you go, you, as I mentioned to you earlier also about that best place to work. So there are people who are very, very formally dressed. And so obviously that the whole culture becomes like that. The whole organization becomes a very formal approach. But there are some companies which says that, you know, you can come to jeans every day. Like in one of the organizations that I worked, like about 7-8 years ago, they used to, so I used to be dressed very, very formal because I came from that background. But as and when I progressed in the job, when I became, when before I could actually transform, I was told that you can actually wear the brands that we make and the brands that we have, and you can be on jeans every day if you feel. Okay, so you need not to wear blazers and trousers and, you know, salwar suits and all of those things. You can wear jeans and as fashionable clothes as you feel like. Okay, so for me, it was very different. Okay, it was very, very different. But it gives the material symbol of the organization. That everybody is dressed up in jeans and t-shirts and, you know, fashionable clothes. And I am very, very geared with all formal clothes of the world. Will I be not out of the place? So, hence, there is a mismatch happens. So, hence, material symbols help. Sorry. Organizational language. What do you mean by organizational language now? The language used at the workplace, okay, by different employees tells us a lot about the organizational culture, okay, as the values held by the organization's subcultures. Okay, organizations have their own unique terminologies. Don't you think so? Everybody has, every organization has you know, their own systems, their own, you know, I have worked in, I can give this example because this is out in the open forum. So, I have worked in Kotak Group. So their Kotak used to be a big, they used to rely on a philosophy called as CLIBS. And I was part of that transformation project. Okay, so it used to be called as Kotak Life Insurance Business Systems. And they used to call it as CLIBS. But if I have my suppliers coming in, or if I have my vendors who are coming in for partnerships and I'm working together with them, I cannot use such terminologies, right? So I have to customize that and I have to make it, break it down into simple, easily understandable language and then talk about, right? So, so hence you have your own unique terminologies for things like equipments, officers, processes, as I told you just now, example of process, key individuals, suppliers, you know, all these things would be unique to your organization. So that's what is your organizational language. Now, what are the features of an organizational culture that shapes high ethical standards amongst the members? Okay, high in risk tolerance, low to moderate in aggressiveness. Depends on sales. There are a lot of companies who are very, very high on risk tolerance. Okay, so they do not mind. They're fine. They go ahead with any kind of risk. Low to moderate in aggressiveness. They watch people. They watch other companies to take a call. And then accordingly, they take it. Okay, so focused on low to moderate on aggressiveness. The third is focused on means as well as the outcomes. They want, they focus on the means as well as they want the results as well. Such a culture takes a strategic perspective and takes equally into account, you know, the rights of various stakeholders, you know, employees, your shareholders, the community, all of that. So a culture completely takes cognizance about the strategic perspective. Okay, so it does not undermine anybody's rights. Okay, so including your employees, shareholders and the community. One more thing that can promote an ethical culture is that presence of role models. Now, when the senior managers act as role models for the employees, setting up ethical standards, you know, sends out very, very good positive messages. Don't you think so? Because they will always be very, very positive. Because when they see that the senior managers are talking about this, so it must be right, you know, no harm trying it out. So people will get the trust and confidence. Now, some of the principles and practices that can promote an ethical culture again are, so we have spoken about the presence of role model. Now we're talking about clear communication of ethical expectations. So it is a complete clear articulation of the expectations. An organizational code of ethics. So if you have some list of do's and don'ts, some code of conduct which are already laid down in the pen and paper, and they must be circulated amongst the employees so that it eliminates any kind of ambiguity or any kind of fog in the atmosphere. Okay, in the organization, it does not leave any stone unturned. Okay, so that everybody is crystal clear. Everybody, so the moment you join, you get this whole piece of paper on mail or PDF or in hard copy saying that, you know, these are the code of conduct. You read them, sign them, abide by them, right? It rules out on all kinds of ambiguities. Some of the principles and practices that can promote an ethical culture, again, are... We have spoken about presence of role models. We've spoke about which is where senior managers depict some of the act as role models and builds trust and confidence and create a positive, gives a positive image. Then we spoke about clear communication of ethical expectations, where the code of conduct is made very, the organizational code of conduct is made very clear. People read it, you know, assign it, and then abide by them. Next is your encourage learning in ethical standards. Managers must ensure all employees go through seminars and workshops and training programs. This is about, again, learning on so that you encourage the whole concept and whole competency of continuous learning process. Okay, so you develop this competency of every individual or every employee that is associated in the organization of being a lifelong learner. So an ethical organizational culture will, some of the principles and practices that can promote here again are your reward ethical actions and reprimand the unethical ones. So if you do not take cognizance, so good that if you reward the ethical actions, but if you do not reprimand the unethical ones, your reward will go undermined. Right? So hence, rewarding ethical actions and reprimanding unethical actions is very, very important. The performance evaluation systems differs from organization to organization. It must include an assessment of alignment of manager decisions within the organization code of ethics. Because if it is beyond code of ethics, and if at all you have been, defied some of the code of conducts, your manager needs to be cognizant enough and needs to bring that in the discussion of appraisal. Set up protective mechanisms. The management must ensure formal mechanisms. Senior management commitment in setting up a positive ethical climate is very, very important. Okay, so this has been from the beginning, we have been talking about in this chapter that senior management plays a critical role in impacting the organizational culture. So hence, we are refreshing that again. Senior management commitment in setting up a positive ethical and ethical climate. So if a perceived pressure exists, say, let's say from the leaders, okay, to behave unethically, employees down the line experience increased intentions to engage in unethical practices, and so in an appropriate organizational culture can negatively impact people's ethical behavior. So this is so if at all somebody is already very, very ethical as an individual, he's very, very ethical. So he's working in the organization, he's getting some pressure from the existing ecosystem of behaving unethical for some context. Okay, so that's where, you know, it can impact, and he has no option left rather than to be a part of the unethical practice. Okay, so then what he does is, so if he does that, it obviously includes that person in that unethical group, right? So it can be inappropriate, organization can impact negatively to ethical behavior. So over a period of time, this person gets influenced and the person will, you know, move into the unethical practices. Now, what do you mean by positive organizational culture? A positive organization culture always tends to be very, very nurturing, growing, very participative in nature, and very, very progressive. And with the combined energy of all its members, a positive culture can actively pursue the challenges of the future. A positive work culture is the ideal work culture, actually, if you see. So it's the way it's supposed to be, right? But then is it possible that every culture is so positive? It may not be. Okay, so ideal culture, it's the ideal culture. Hence, it is very, very it promotes productivity to a great extent, and it encourages growth. It also talks about employee satisfaction. So a positive work culture is always seen as the most ideal work culture, and which will always, you know, talk about, which will always promote productivity, promotion, job satisfaction, and conducive working environment for the employees. So that's what is positive organizational culture all about. Now, what are the features of positive work culture? There are many features of a positive work culture, but some of the most common ones that have been described by Armstrong are these. Can you see this on the slide here? Employee empowerment and effective communication. So employee gets elated not by virtue of elevating in the position, but by virtue of the kind of work that has been bestowed on him or the kind of responsibility that has been given to him. Open, honest, and flowing communication, long-term quality service and excellence. So these are some of the key features of a positive work culture. Individual responsibility. So if the work culture is so positive, there is an individual responsibility which comes on its own, which the employees are so empowered that they're able to take responsibility without having a authority matrix. They would take responsibility. They would embrace new ideas. They would be very, very open to new ideas. They would be flexible and fluid in nature, and they would be rapidly responsible. The moment they see that there is business, the business is growing, it's expanding, the company is expanding, you will have a lot of employees who will be flexible enough to be able to adapt to those changes and embrace them positively. So these are some of the features as described by Armstrong in 2010. So organizational culture and national culture. Now, what do you mean by that? Now, what is national and what is organizational culture? So organizational culture tends to be very strong in many times. You know, sometimes it completely negates the national boundaries. So despite of that, organizations cannot and should not overlook the local culture. Let's take the basic example again. Let's take the example of McDonald's. Okay, so now when you visit a McDonald's outlet, some people will completely resonate if they have visited a McDonald's in Europe or maybe in the US and versus a McDonald's in India. Now, what happens in India, you have aloo tikki burger. You have, chicken kebab burger and probably some few more items which are on the Indian cuisine palette. And so, but if you go to Europe, maybe if you go to Italy, you will not find, rarely you will find something which is veg. If it's there, it's more of cheeseburger. And next are all hamburgers. Very rarely you'll find chicken burgers. You will not have any aloo tikkis of the world, or you will not have any chicken kebab burgers of the world, or any kinds of, things which are very, very relatable to the Indian cuisine, because they do not want to overlook the local culture. So while they are a brand from external abroad, they do not bring in their wholly solely practices over here completely and dump us with that, saying that okay, this is what is the menu and take it or leave it. Nobody will be able to do business with that, right? So everybody has to come and make the organization as viable as to the local practice. So hence, they will always try and inculcate the local culture. Very often, it is also seen that organizational cultures reflect the national cultures. That some organization, they become so flexible enough, they are in fact completely in line with the national culture. Since there is a strong relationship between national culture and the organizational culture, it is important that, if you want to operate in a global environment, to keep into consideration the following points. Okay, so if you want a global environment, if you want to sustain in a global environment, even a powerful corporate culture is unable to dampen national culture sometimes. Huh? The national culture can be so strong that it is the global empowerment, also a global corporate culture may not work here. So it could be a complete conflicting state, okay? And it could be conflicting between two employees and are likely to respond in ways typical of their national culture, not their organizational culture. So then each employee will depict their national culture rather than the organizational culture. So hence, when there are small companies who comes from other countries and enter the Indian market, they always come with the very, very, the homework of Indian labor laws are being very, very clearly done. So before entering into business, before putting together, their policies and procedures, they will take ILO's, laid policies into concern. They will completely take the Indian rules and regulations and accordingly put their policy and practices together. So organizations, while operating in foreign locations, must carefully assess its organizational culture and against the local culture. So will there be a match or will there be a mismatch? And accordingly take a call and create a complete transformation. And what you do is you do not have to forego your organizational, already existing organizational culture. What you'll have to do is you'll probably have to customize it and make it in line with the national culture. So that you are able to operate the whole function, you are able to function it very, very smoothly without any kind of hindrances. In case of any potential conflict between organization and national culture, foreign national cultures, an organization must be sensitive to the local culture, the native culture, okay, in order to keep the local employees motivated and committed. Say, for example, in Dubai, in fact, all GCC countries, you have a weekend as Thursday and Friday, okay, or else Friday and Saturday. Sunday is the first day of the week for them. Okay, so now these people have extended one office in India. Now, when they have extended this office in India, they have completely followed the same practice. They said whatever happens in GCC countries, the same rules and regulations will be operating in India as well. So it will be applicable to all the employees who have signed contract or who have joined the organization. Okay, they'll have to. Will the employees be motivated enough to have a Thursday or a Friday as a weekend where everybody, the whole world in India is having a weekend on Saturday, Sunday, or maybe at least a Sunday or maybe at least a Saturday, which, where he will be able to meet his children, he'll be able to spend time with his family, all of that will happen. So hence, all these have to be taken care into consideration. This may require changing or little toning down of the aspects. Do not have to completely change down. So instead of Thursday, Friday, you can say that, okay, instead of Friday, Saturday, in India, we will observe Saturday, Sunday. So this is the only addition that you have to do. Rest, everything else remains the same. Okay, so and this same particular thing, apart from GCC, maybe it may work in Canada. I don't know. We don't know about it. But maybe in some countries it may work. But in some countries where it doesn't, you'll have to probably tone it down a bit. Thank you so much, everyone.